Good morning, and may the force be with you. I think we all, as we all wear our masks, we all sound like Darth Vader when we breathe, right? So that's a fitting. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy and a blessing to be in worship with you today. Whether you're here with us in the sanctuary or joining us online, we are thankful that you are worshiping with us. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammond Evans. He'll be bringing the message here a little bit later on. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and so it is Communion Sunday. So I invite those of you who are joining us online to take a moment and gather your communion elements, whatever those might be, bread and water or grape juice or whatever you might have, and then we will bless those and you can participate in communion with us later on in the service. At this moment, if you would, please stand as you are able and join me in our call to worship. Create a clean heart for me, God. Please don't throw me out of your presence. Return the joy of your salvation to me. Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways. Our first hymn this morning is Oh for a Heart to Praise My God. It is a familiar tune, and you'll find it on page 417 of your hymnal. Please remain standing and join me for the opening prayer, which is found printed in your bulletin. God of the lowly and the mighty, you know the ugliness of your people when we harm and destroy one another. Yet you offer us forgiveness of our sins if we turn to you. Expand our hearts to receive the mercy you give us, that in turn we may share your grace and mercy with others each moment of our lives. Amen. At this moment, Brother Hammett, I would like, we're going to give away some money, aren't we? We have some scholarship money to give away.
You may be seated. We do have some scholarships to present to some of our college students today. Some of those were presented at the launch service this morning, but we do have two present with us today. And so I'd like to call Aditya to come forward. Let's give Aditya a sign of our congratulations for graduating high school and for going on to college and receiving a scholarship. And also Larissa Temple. Is Larissa? Yeah, there's Larissa. Let's, same thing for Larissa, yeah. Congratulations, Aditya. Thank you so much. It's nice to meet you. morning, Larissa. I'm Hammett. It's nice to meet you. And congratulations. We're praying for both of you, and if there's anything that we can do to help you as you go to college, let us know. Congratulations. Let's give them another sign of our congratulations. Y'all have no idea how big of a Star Wars nerd I am yet, but I just outed myself. So thank you so much, Mike, for being here today. And I joked last week that this sermon in this series is the Empire Strikes Back of the series because it's the middle. And so Diana took that and ran with it. I'm just so happy. I can't believe, I wish we had worn black coming in, black flowing robes and Sith sabers and all that. But anyway, we're all Jedi now, and we're all on the light side, which is good. You should have received an email late yesterday afternoon, letting you know that we have made the difficult decision to suspend in-person, indoor children's ministry for the time being, and that includes Sunday school, as well as the nursery and things like that. It does not affect ACCDC. They follow their own guidelines, and they're doing that as they're supposed to. Of course, this was a very difficult decision. Nobody wants to say we're not going to do children's ministry, at least in that way, for some time. But in light of the surge and the way that this new strain of COVID-19 is affecting children and teenagers, we felt like that was the best thing to do for now. It is possible. I mean, the cases are still rising. We are monitoring that very closely. And it is possible that we would have to go online only for worship. And that could happen this week. It might happen next week. I don't know. But please be mindful of your email. That's the best way that we have to catch everybody. And then we'll be posting that on Facebook as well if that does occur. I do want to encourage you to do the things that we've all learned work during the pandemic, which is to mask up and to stay distant, keep your distance away from people who don't live in your home.
And then if you are eligible to be vaccinated, then we strongly encourage you and urge you to do that. But be in prayer for, especially for our kids who are unable to be vaccinated right now and their families, and be in prayer for our hospital workers and all those folks who are involved in healthcare right now. Our hospitals are really in a dire situation, if you've seen the news. And so please be in prayer for them, and please be in prayer for your church leaders. All of us, we're all trying to do the best we can to navigate through this and with the best knowledge that we have. So please be in prayer for us as we try to discern what's best for the congregation as a whole and for our ministries. But today is the second in a series of sermons toward the end of David's life. Last Sunday, we saw how he lost sight of his passions, he lost sight of his humility, and he lost sight of his Lord. Today, we're going to begin to see the consequences of those losses for David, and then we'll follow that up next week as well. But our scripture reading today kind of overlaps what we had last week. It is 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 through chapter 12, verse 14. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. When the period of mourning was over, David sent for her and brought her to the palace, and she became one of his wives. Then she gave birth to a son. But the Lord was displeased with what David had done. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. But instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the Lord by doing this, your child will die. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. It was wintertime, and the king warmed himself by the fire. He looked around the room. A spear, once thrown to kill him, hung on the wall. A suit of armor, complete with sword and bow, stood in the corner. Once they had belonged to his best friend, who was now long dead. His old lyre lay beside it, covered with dust, the strings all dead and dry. From the fireplace mantle, David picked up an old leather sling and pulled from it a single stone, still dark with Philistine blood. All these reminders of his youth, days long ago, when the Lord felt so close. But this year, things had changed for David, and not the better. In the spring, when kings go out for battle, David decided to stay home, and maybe it was because he was so confident that his men could conquer the Ammonites easily, or maybe he had grown weary of war, or maybe he had outgrown his suit of armor, or whatever the reason, David decided to stay home in Jerusalem while he sent his soldiers off to fight in the fields of Rabbah. As he held the stone in his hands, David remembered that afternoon that he rose from his couch and went out to walk and enjoy the breeze from his roof. That was the first time that he ever laid eyes on her. From his roof, he could see down into the homes of his people, and this beautiful woman was bathing in what she thought was the privacy of her own home. But from his high roof, the king could see it all. Just a peek, he thought. But a peek became a stare, and the stare turned into a hunger that had to be satisfied. At least that's what he thought at the time. And some cravings that we have are best ignored. But he was the king. And so he asked about her, found out her name was Bathsheba, and she was the wife of one of the young men that he had sent out to do battle that year, a man named Uriah. Since her husband was away, David sent for her. She came to him, he lay with her, and then sent her back home. A few weeks later, David got a message. The news was Bathsheba was pregnant. Now was the time for a cover-up. If David could only get Uriah home quickly enough, it could look like Uriah was the father of the child. So at David's request, Joab, David's top general, sent Uriah home. The king called Uriah before him, asked him how the war was going and how the men were out on the battlefield, and then sent him home to spend the night with his wife along with a gift. But Uriah did not go. Instead, Uriah slept with the king's servants at the king's palace. So the next day, the king called Uriah before him once again and asked him why he didn't go home to bed. Uriah reminded him that the nation was not yet secure and that he would never, ever go home to eat and drink and sleep with his wife while his fellow soldiers were sleeping out in the battlefields. In other words, Uriah said he was not about to do what David had been doing. A couple of days passed. David brings him in one more time. This time he got him drunk. But even in his drunken stupor, Uriah did not forget his fellow soldiers. He refused to go home once again and passed out with the servants at the palace entrance. The king feared that all was lost. He would surely be caught in adultery, and the punishment for adultery was being stoned to death. And so the next day, David sat down and wrote a letter to General Joab and sent Uriah back to the battleground, carrying his own death sentence in hand. David ordered Joab to put Uriah up at the very front of the battle, and when the fighting heated up, Joab was to pull his troops back from Uriah so that he would be struck down and die. How could David have been so calloused? How could his heart have been so hard? Well, for the most part, Joab was a good general. He obeyed his king's orders. Within hours, Uriah's lifeless body lay on the battlefield of Rabbah. But not only Uriah's body, also the bodies of his brother soldiers who disobeyed orders and refused to abandon him. Just a peek turned a mighty monarch into a mass murderer. And David thought he got away with it. After Uriah's wife finished her time of mourning, David sent for her, brought her into his house, married her, and then she gave birth to a baby boy. And nobody knew. Nobody except God. And God was not pleased at all. God sent a messenger to David, a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan's role as a prophet was to be a religious advisor to the king. One of his duties was to bring legal disputes that before the king that when judges could not make a ruling on their own. And so one day, Nathan comes to David, and he tells them about a rich man and a poor man who lived in the same city. The rich man was very, very wealthy. He owned a lot of livestock. But the poor man only had one small lamb for which he had saved and saved and saved and bought. He loved that little lamb. So did his children. It was a beloved pet. It says that it was like one of his own daughters. One day, so Nathan said, someone came to stay with the rich man. But instead of slaughtering one of his own animals, of which he had so many, the rich man went and took that little lamb from the poor man. And he slaughtered it and cooked it up for his guest. David flew into a rage and yelled, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." But David shuddered when Nathan turned to him and said, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued from the hand of King Saul. I gave you Saul's house, his wives, and I gave you his kingdoms. And if that had been too little, I would have given you so much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of your enemies." Nathan stood, waiting, as the king turned the stone over and over and over again in his hands. He was pondering the law. You see, under the law of Moses, both adultery and murder were serious sins, and both of them incurred the death penalty. But David also knew God's power. He had seen God's power with his own eyes. He had touched it with his own hands. He had felt it in his own heart. He got up and he walked over to his old lyre. He picked it up and in his hands and began to tune the dry, dead strings. And then he knelt down and began to sing, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." When David remembered God's steadfast love, he confessed his sin and God erased it. Because you see, the God of David is a God of second chances. Sin always has a cost. There are always consequences. And we will see those next week. For today, I don't know what sort of weight you're carrying on your heart. Maybe you're like David and you think you've gotten away with something, or there's some dark secret in your life that you try to keep hidden from everyone. No matter how well hidden, God knows. Or maybe there's something you've been carrying around in your heart for a long time, something that you feel like you could never make up for. God knows that too. Or maybe you're feeling tempted and considering taking just a peek like David did. God knows that. Or maybe you used to feel close to God, but now God seems further and further away and you feel guilty for letting that happen. God knows that too. God knows, but more importantly, God still loves you. So don't let anything hold you back. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is kind. God is loving. God is even powerful enough to create a new heart in you and in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. The good news that we celebrate every time we come to the Lord's table is that Christ invites sinners to that table. And so we remember today that, as Paul said, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That is what proves God's love toward us. In the name of Christ, all of us are forgiven. In that spirit, I'd like to invite Nick to lead us in our prayer of confession.
Please join me in that invitation and prayer of confession, which is found in your bulletin. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess to God and to one another our failure to love our neighbor. God of mercy, we confess that we have not loved others as you have loved us. We failed to follow your example or to obey your commandment to love one another. Forgive us. Restore us that we may abide in your love and live out your mercy for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Believe in the promise given to you. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. You may join with me in the Great Thanksgiving found on page 15 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God. We remember how you created the world and all that is in it and saw that it was very, very good. You placed us here to love as you first loved us. And when we failed to do that, as David did, your love never failed. It continued to reach out to us through the law, through the prophets, and finally through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, shared it with his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so as we remember these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice in union with the sacrifice that he made for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith together, saying, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and those of us who are joining online. And pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ, that we might be transformed by them in the name of your sacrificial love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And the people of God said, Amen.
And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup which we bless is a sharing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Today we'll take our communion together, and if you're joining us online, please have your grape juice. Wine is okay. Grape juice is preferred for United Methodists, but you can use wine if that's what you have at home. Somebody texted this morning, said that's all they had. Anyway, that's what Jesus drank, so that's okay. But you can gather your grape juice or wine and bread for your family. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward now. As I think Nick said earlier, in the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is the Lord's table, and Christ invites all to join him here. You may take off your mask as we receive communion together. You'll start with a small end, and if you'll open that up. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And now turn it over. Open that side. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. You may put your masks back on as we pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the people of God said, Amen. You may stand for our closing hymn, One Bread, One Body. It's found on page 620, and we'll sing it one time through. If you would like to give an offering today, if you're here in the sanctuary, there's a basket outside the doors as you exit to place your offering there. You may also text Asbury UMC to 73256 or give online at asbury-lr.org/donate, or you can go to the church website and find the link there. Next Sunday, we will look at the consequences, especially if you've ever, I know nobody here, nobody in church ever has conflict in their family, right? Ever. But the story of David and Absalom is one of those that is one of the most powerful stories, at least in my life, in terms of how family conflict can erupt in some really awful ways, but God is still present in that. And so I encourage you to come back as we finish this series next Sunday. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.